Day three of the 2017 NFL Draft has passed, and the draft is now over. This is Mike Siegel from Big Blue Interactive, here to discuss the New York Giants picks and the NFC East, and the remaining undrafted street free agents. The Giants selected running back Wayne Gallman in the fourth round, defensive end Avery Moss in the fifth round, and traded away their seventh-round pick to move up for one of Dave's guys, offensive tackle Adam Bisnadaway, in the sixth round. Joining me to chat about this and more are Dave T. Thomas of the NFL Draft Report and Cy 56 of rlads.com. Cy, tell us about the Giants picks and what you think.
Well, hey, I mean, round four, I think we all kind of projected that spot of the draft to be a spot the Giants are going to look for a running back. You know, they have Paul Perkins back there. They signed Sean Drone. Shane Green should be back. But I think everyone knew that we were going to go into this draft and look for at least a back that could at least do some short yardage duty. I don't want to call Wayne Gallman a short yardage back. I do think he's effective in certain situations where you need, you know, a third and two, third and three, because he's very assertive. He's an aggressive runner. He's an explosive cut-and-go guy. He won't be impressed by the 40 time, but he plays pretty fast. He loves to jump cut, and he likes to run behind his pads. The issues with him, runs pretty high, takes a ton of hits, and he doesn't protect the ball too well. But, you know, he could have came out last year. Last year he was a third-year sophomore. He could have come out, and he got a pretty good grade from the advisory board, but he decided to go back to refine his game and to make himself a more complete back, and I think that's exactly what he did. You know, he's one of the better blockers that you have among this running back class. His receiving skill set is there. So I think that, you know, he may not fit in as a prototypical short yardage back, but I do think he's a guy that can be added to this running back by committee approach and get the job done.
Dave, do you have anything to say about Wayne Gallman?
Well, I'm more interested in what happened over in Philadelphia by bringing in Donnell Pumphrey. It puts Mr. Sproles out there on the market, and Philadelphia is already making calls. I'm hoping that the Giants might have an ear to listen on this, because having a change of pace back like Sproles in that backfield, age and all, going along with Gallman, going along with Perkins, that'd be a nice little trio. The thing I like about Perkins, he quietly goes about the job that he does. He's a much better receiver coming out of the backfield. This is a kid that twice now has won the strength training dedication award at his school. You know that he could pick up the blitz. I think this was a solid pick in round four. Matter of fact, Cy and I discussed him. He was one of our players that we were talking about to look forward on day three yesterday.
And defensive end Avery Morsai, what's your take on him?
Fits the mold of what Giants look for at defensive end. He's got length, he's got girth. He's a strong guy, big hands, long arms. Started off at Nebraska, got kicked out of school, and followed the coach that recruited him to Nebraska, Bo Pelini, who went to Youngstown State. And I don't know many schools at that level that had the edge presence of Derek Rivers and Avery Moss playing. Derek Rivers and Avery Moss, it was fun to watch them because they were a very effective outside rushing duo, but completely different players. Moss, a little bit more physical, a little bit more straight line, doesn't bend as well. But, you know, what stood out to me about him, and I think this is what the Giants might have saw in them that they like, is very effective with his hands. If you watch what he does with his hands, especially as a run defender off the snap, you know, how he can stifle a blocker, stand them up, shed the block, and make the tackle, that's something that you try to teach defensive ends to do after they enter the league, even these first, second-round guys that are so overly reliant on athletic ability. He has techniques that is very further along than what you expect from a guy coming from Youngstown State. No slouch athletically either. I think that he's going to have to fight to be in the rotation right away. That's a pretty crowded defensive end group currently with the Giants. But if we're looking at talent, I think he's right up there with them. And just as I said, I think his learning curve is going to be smaller than a lot of defensive ends coming out, because I think he's got a lot of things in his pocket that are ready to use that most defensive ends don't have.
Well, the thing I'm impressed with him is the amount of turnovers he created last year. On eight of his quarterback pressures, four of them were caused interceptions. He caused four fumbles. He's a very good collision tackler. His fumble recovery set up a score. Between him and Rivers, they had 26 sacks, 37 tackles for losses, and 20 QB pressures. I'm just not impressed with him off the field, and he did have some issues up at Youngstown State, too. They tried to hide it up there. There's no calling this thing. I mean, they're saying, well, 17 years old, you know, he was young, he got in trouble. Sorry, guys, you don't drop your winky-dink on a counter in a convenience store. You do that, somebody's going to wake out a mousetrap. I think what you're going to see on this ball player is, the first thing I like to see are the veterans pulling him on the side at camp and saying, listen, here's what we're going to be doing on the field. Off the field, we don't want to hear any of your crap. He did have some issues at Youngstown, and like I say, they did deny it. But this is a kid that will have to be monitored off the field.
And finally, the Giants traded away their seventh-round pick to move up for one of Dave's guys, offensive tackle Adam Bisnowati. Is that the right way to pronounce it?
Oh, yeah. It's as close as you're going to get from a kid from Brooklyn.
But this is a guy you were high on, Dave.
Yeah, I've been very high on him since day one. If he didn't end up with that bad foot that the Virginia Tech game, which not only carried over throughout the season, but carried over into the Senior Bowl and Combine performance, who knows where he was going to go. Guys, I got to remind everybody that, you know, National Scouting is a pretty good group. And before the season, when the grades came out back in June, this was the top-rated senior offensive tackle on the board. All right, he didn't look good on film the second half of the season, but if I had my druthers of Eric Flowers or Adam protecting Eli, I'm going with the big A.
Si, what are your notes on this guy?
Well, if you want to look at what do you want out of left tackle physically, all right, you want foot speed, you want length, you want big hands, you want knee bend. I think he grades out whether you like them this year or not. You know, he checks all those boxes. So we're talking about a six-round draft pick, checking all those boxes. And you talk about his style of play. He's very physical, very aggressive, has a lot of experience. We're a little disappointed by the lack of presence we saw this year. And part of that could be blamed on the foot, I'm sure. Part of his poor performance at the Senior Bowl could be blamed on the foot, I'm sure. What he can do with his hands is what we're trying to teach Eric Flowers how to do. You know, we've been hoping just one of these weeks Eric Flowers comes out and actually plays the game the right way for four quarters, you know, especially with his hands and his feet. Watch Bisnowati. What he does with his hands and his feet is exactly what we're trying to get Flowers to do. So I think for Flowers, you know, he better pick it up, because I think if his performance stays where it's at for another half season, I mean, we might be looking at a six-round pick protecting Eli Manning's blind side. Not to say that we want that, but, you know, I think his leash is going to be pretty short, especially with this guy in the picture now. And you could definitely say, you know, this could be a great, great, great value pick for the Giants.
I think he's probably going to be probably one of the best value picks on the offensive line since they got Doug Risenberg. And if you look the way he plays, it's similar to Doug. I mean, he's got good kick slide. He really mirrors the edge rushers. The thing that I like about the guy, stick to this with those hands. I mean, when you got 11-inch paws, man, you lock onto somebody, you're going to be dragging them down. And that's what he's done. Last 3 years, he averaged 126 knockdown blocks a year. Can't ask for more from your LT.
Yep.
So let's briefly go over what happened with the other teams. We'll do the whole team at the same time, I think. The Eagles, Mac Hollins, and running back Donnell Pumphrey in the fourth, wide receiver Shelton Gibson, and safety Nathan Geary in the fifth, and defensive tackle Elijah Qualis in the sixth. They don't have any seventh-round picks. Do you have any comments about these guys, Si?
Yeah, I mean, Hollins and Gibson both are just big, big play receivers. Guys that are going to scare you back, put cornerbacks on their heels a little bit. Hollins was actually one of my guys I wanted to really see in 2016. Unfortunately, he broke his collarbone and he only played about half the year. But 17 and a half yards per catch in 2014, 25 yards per catch in 2015. Now he's tall, he's long, he's got speed. Definitely a projection guy. Definitely gonna, you know, maybe a limited route runner initially, but you have tools to work with here. And Shelton Gibson, you know, he's a 4.4 guy, but what scares you about him is that he reaches that 4.4 speed at the snap of a finger. You know, his 60-yard shuttle time at the combine was the fastest out of everyone there. Tracks the ball well. Donnell Pumphrey, I'm not as high on, all-time leading rusher in San Diego State. You know, these all-time leading rusher types, you know, we saw that in Ron Dane coming out of college. Not sure that's really going to translate to the NFL. Yes, you know, you told me I had to choose between Pumphrey and Darren Sproles today. I'm definitely taking Sproles. So I'd be more than happy to see them ship Sproles anywhere. I would love them here in New York. But, you know, if Pumphrey, you know, the 170-pound soaking wet, you know, it's not going to take much to get him down. And I just don't see the wiggle. He doesn't remind me of Sproles at all. You know, he just – he's the kind of guy that I feel like if you get an arm on him, you know, he's going down right away. And without the wiggle that Sproles has – I just don't. I don't really see what he's going to be able to do that Sproles can't.
Well, I think something's definitely going to be happening with Sproles. I was sitting in the Patriots' office when the call came in, and this was in the sixth round. What you got to look at too is you got to look at Philadelphia. They only have $3 million left on their cap right now, so that's going to be a problem. I'm pretty excited with the receivers they brought in. I mean, between Mac Collins and Sheldon Gibson, you definitely got speedsters. I mean, Gibson is going to frustrate you a little bit because he is known to drop quite a few. But I really like that pickup in the sixth round. You got to understand they brought Jernigan in, but Jernigan's only on a 1 year deal before he could walk. They lost Benny Logan. You bring in Miles over here. Bo Allen, who was expected to step into the lineup, now tore his pectoral and is going to be out half of the season. So you're bringing in an impressive athlete at 315 pounds with experience in playing or straight across the defensive line. Solid pickup for them on the third day of the draft.
So Washington picks running back Sam J. Perrine and safety Monte Nicholson in the fourth, tight end Jeremy Sprinkle in the fifth, center Chase Roulier, and wide receiver Robert Davis in the sixth, and they had 2 7-rounders to go when we started this chat up. Ty, any comments?
Hey, Perrine's a running back that the Giants were looking at. I'm sure if he was going to be there in round four, he wasn't available. But, I mean, you're talking about a kid that came to Oklahoma as a freshman. He had the NFL body from day one. You know, we all remember that 400-plus yard game he had last year, and, you know, probably a little bit some of his production, I think, was a product of the system that he came out of. But, you know, this guy is going to be an effective short yardage back day one. I would even say between him and Rob Kelly, I think all their issues, I mean, you could probably say goodbye to Matt Jones out of Washington because I think Perrine's going to fill that role and probably elevate it to another level. I think he's the perfect back to have in a committee approach. I wouldn't want him, you know, he gets nicked up pretty easily, takes a ton of hits. No, he doesn't play the game like Brandon Jacobs, but he's like that kind of guy where he just takes so many hits to his lower body that, you know, you don't want him out there too much. But when you want him out there, those are the plays where you need those 2-3 yards. And I think he's going to consistently be able to get them, especially behind that Washington offensive line. I think he's going to be in a really good situation. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him being, you know, one of the top five rookie rushing leaders this upcoming year.
Well, especially the way that Gruden utilizes his running backs coming out of the backfield, this is where he definitely is going to be stepping in. I think that what we'll probably see by midseason is Rob Kelly will take a backseat to Perrine.
And, you know, Monte Nicholson, the safety, he's definitely a height, weight, speed guy. He was a top-tier track athlete in high school. Actually, I think he did some track and field at Michigan State. But right now, when I see him play, I see one of those guys. He's more of an athlete. I don't think he plays nearly as fast as he times. A little stiff, but what he does do well, he's very effective in traffic. He's got good ball skills. So if he can get to the action downfield, that would be a guy that makes you think twice about throwing deep on him.
I think their safeties, though, were more of a CYA effect over here because you got to look at their depth chart. Cravens is dealing with a bad neck. D'Angelo Hall is dealing with injuries itself. These are two guys that are actually sitting on the sidelines right now with career-threatening injuries. I'd like to pick up in round 7, though. I think this Josh Harvey Clemens, if they use him properly and get him in the weight room, they could probably have another Deion Buchanan on their hands. Joshua Holsey, you go back to when he was coming out of high school. This was a 5-star recruit. He's got 4.4 speed, but he's just never lived up to it. The big thing about him, though, in round 7, number 235, he got a really good special teams pickup. The guy I really want to see out there on the football field is going to be Robert Davis. This kid's got blazing speed, 6'3", 220 pounds. During the postseason was where he really made a name for himself. I'm surprised he's sitting out there in round 6, but when you have, what, 50, 60 cornerbacks coming in this draft before we even got up to that round, a lot of guys started to get pushed down.
Yeah, another guy I'm interested to see. I liked him early in the year. You know, I saw some red flags coming up as the year progressed. But Jeremy Sprinkle, the tight end they got from Arkansas, his name popped up last year when I was scouting Hunter Henry, who was drafted by the Chargers last year. He was their number 2 tight end, and there were times where he jumped off the screen multiple times. So I kind of put the eyeball on him a lot this year. And, you know, physically, you know, he's actually a guy that I thought the Giants were going to be looking at if they waited on the tight end position. Very tall, very long, catches the ball pretty naturally. And I think that's going to be a spot. You know, Jordan Reed is the tight end there, but he's not their inline tight end. I think Sprinkle in time, you know, the guy already weighs 256 pounds. I think he's got another 10 pounds on him pretty easily. Bends pretty well. I think there's going to be a lot that he can do to stay on the field and give that Washington offense a two tight end type approach.
Well, they definitely got a two tight end right now. They got Vernon Davis there, Si. I mean, I think Sprinkles is going to come in more for being a quality blocker and a red zone threat than actually stealing away catches from Davis and Reed.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much longer Vernon Davis will be there. You know,
see the NFC East symposium, though, where when they bring the rookies in? I mean, don't take Sprinkle and Moore shopping, man. You don't want those two guys in the
Yeah, that Sprinkle, that bumped him down a little bit, that little stupid shoplifting incident.
I think that center of theirs is going to come in handy for them because they had a lot of issues at center last year. I think one of the guys, Lincoln Berger, can't pronounce his name, but he packed it up for them. So the weak link for their front wall right now is at the center spot. I just see this kid probably giving more quality as a backup, as a guard, than walking into the pivot spot, though.
All right, and then there was Dallas. They have wide receiver Ryan Switzer in the fourth. At safety, Xavier Woods, and cornerback Marquise White in the sixth. And they have 3 7th rounders at the end of the seventh round. Side comments?
Ryan Switzer, slot receiver, very small. Kind of reminds me of what they already had in Cole Beasley. But, you know, you notice what Cole Beasley did this year, especially on the first half of the season with Dak Prescott. You know, I think that the front office saw something, a relationship there, said, hey, Prescott might be one of these quarterbacks that really thrives on a little slot guy that can run himself open. That's exactly what Switzer can do. You know, he's a guy that's hard to touch, let alone cover. And I don't think he's going to scare anyone deep, but what he can do to get open underneath and what he can do with the ball in his hand is exceptional. As a freshman, he has five punt return touchdowns. And that's an NCAA record. So I think when you get the ball in this kid's hands, he can do things. And I don't know if he's going to be able to beat out Cole Beasley right away, but it's a nice thing to have, and there's right behind him just in case Beasley ever goes down or if he ever leaves via free agent.
And then with their next pick, Si, you got to look at that guy, losing J.J. Wilcox, losing Barry Church. They had to get somebody in to play safety. This was a guy a lot of teams had on the board at the fourth round, but slid on the draft. 5'11", 219 pounds, bench presses 400 pounds. A four-year starter out on the field. He's going to come in and compete for a starting job right away. It's curious, though, to see they address their need in this draft because they took four defensive backs before it all was said and done.
Yeah, I mean, we came into the draft saying, Dallas, you got to stock up on defense, right? You lost a lot in free agency this year, and you have, you know, a Pandora box of issues with Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, Jalen Smith, just a lot of questions. So they went long on defenders, and I think they did a pretty good job, you know, especially with these defensive backs.
I don't know if you saw it, but Gregory got hit with another one. They're going to be
struggling. I did. So that might be the end of him.
And that pickup with Joey Ivey gives them another kid to throw into the rotation inside. You know, he's a career backup, but this is a kid, man. He's got a lot of size, a lot of power to him. And then they picked up the raw McGaw, man, Noah Brown, with the 239th pick in the draft. This was a kid everybody felt athletically was as good as Curtis Samuel over there, but, you know, you blow him one ear, you're going to feel the draft coming out of the other.
He's
probably the worst route runner I've seen in ages, man. But, oh, my God, with that size, that speed, and the way he goes up for the ball, his problem is once he catches it, he doesn't know where to go.
We saw what he did against Oklahoma this year. I mean,
I know. It was one of those games out there. But outside of that, you know, you're looking at a kid 2 years on the sideline with injuries, another 2 years waiting to get in there.
Yep.
So, Dave, now the scramble comes for the undrafted free agent. This is the real interesting part that you've been talking to us about. We're not really scheduled to talk to each other tomorrow, but we're hoping to get together and chat on Monday.
Well, this is the time when the scouts come into play because, one, it's the knowledge of the players that you had in your area, and two, the relationship you established with those players. If I'm picking up a phone and I'm calling Joe Blow and he doesn't know me and he's got eight other offers on the table, he's going to listen to them. However, once you establish a relationship with a Paul player, you may be able to talk him down a buck or two, or you may be able to toss an extra dollar to him to entice him to come in. The biggest thing what you want to do right now is a 24-hour free fall. Now, whatever's left out there, the scraps, you better pick up, because before you know it, all that's going to be left is the bone. Whoever you got signed by tomorrow morning is probably going to be a guy that you really wanted. After that, you're just going ahead and picking up training camp fodder.
All right. Well, I thank you again for the great chat and the thoughtful commentary about day three. We've been listening to Dave T. Thomas of the NFL Draft Report and Side56 of rlads.com, giving you the best in straight talk about the NFL Draft. This is Mike Siegel from BBI, and on behalf of Dave and Side, and also Eric Kennedy, we sign off until our next broadcast.